Okay, it looks like most everybody has acknowledged the recording, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. I want to thank everybody for attending today. First, I just want to introduce myself just in case some people are probably new to the site and they don't really know me very well. So my name is Nicole Johnson, and I'm the owner and president of babysleepsite.com. And I started this website a few years ago. My son, who's now 5, was a challenging sleeper. And once I finally got him sleeping better, which took quite a while, and I did a lot of reading and research, I started helping other people with their sleep problems. And I became very passionate about helping other people. And now it's very important to me. And I just really love it. I get so many emails from people, whether they paid anything or not. You know, it's just wonderful to really touch people's lives and really help them with something as challenging as sleep, especially when you're not getting very much. So with that, I'm going to get started. I'm recording this, and the teleseminar will be about 30 minutes, but I can really get going, so I'm going to try to keep it short for you, or not too short, but useful and short. Sometimes I go off in tangents, so I'll try to keep that to a minimum. So today's topics, of course, will be the toddler sleep, and I'll keep it to some common hot topics because some things are more complicated than others. In some ways, toddler sleep is easier in the sense that they can understand you and communicate with you, and some are starting to talk and really get much better at vocalizing what they want, and sometimes that can make it even more challenging because now they're, instead of just crying, they're saying, "Mommy, Mommy," and, you know, and it ripped your heart out, and it's hard to set limits and that type of thing. So, and of course, they start going through their terrible twos, which just makes everything more challenging. So what I won't be covering today as much, I might try to touch on it a little bit, is when you're trying to get your toddler to go to sleep at night and, you know, he or she wants you to stay with him, or having trouble putting him or her down, not all the way asleep, or if they're having a lot of night wakings and that kind of thing. I could spend a lot of time on focusing on how to get them to sleep, you know, all night without the numerous night wakings, that kind of thing. I will touch on a few things at the end, though. So I'll be talking now about just some hot topics that come up a lot in consultations and that kind of thing. So first, just very briefly, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that your toddler still needs a lot of sleep. You know, some people just think as they get older, they're not going to need as much sleep. And that's true to an extent, but it's still a lot. They still need 11 to 12 hours at night and 2 to 3 hours during the day for quite a while. As they approach 2 years old, they start showing a little bit more maturity and ability to stay up longer stretches, and they might only need 10 hours at night, but they'll continue to still need, you know, between 1 and 3 hours during the day for quite a while until they're 3 or 4 years old, and then they might transition away from napping, but then they'll still need 10 to 11 hours of sleep at night, even up until five years old. And they'll continue to need 9 to 10 hours after that, and even middle schoolers probably need a lot of sleep. So you know that toddlers still need a lot of sleep, so you should still strive to get them enough for their development. And also, it really helps behavior. I really, really notice with my son, if he doesn't get enough sleep, his behavior goes downhill. You might think it's kind of terrible too behavior, but it could be 10 times worse just not getting enough sleep. And I noticed right away more timeouts, more just, you know, bucking back against the system, you know. So with that said, what time should bedtime be? Well, when your toddler's still a young toddler, you still want to maintain an early-ish bedtime between 6 and 8 p.m. All families have their unique, you know, schedules that they need to follow and that kind of thing. But in general, you still want them in bed earlier. And also that helps give you some downtime, especially with your partner and that type of thing. So that helps. Now, as they approach 2 to 2.5, especially in the summer, bedtime can get as late as 9 p.m. I try not to go later than that, but, you know, that's kind of a judgment call as well. And it also depends on what time you need them up in the morning. You know, some kids, you know, if you're a working parent, you might need them up in the morning to go to daycare or the babysitter. And in that case, then you'll need your bedtime earlier. Even if you don't need them up at a certain time, if bedtime starts getting really late, then you'll want to wake them up in the morning as if that you do need them somewhere, because that's the easiest way to control a schedule. Is you can't make them sleep, but you can definitely wake them up. You know, we try not to do that, of course, because we're trying so hard to get them to sleep. But at the same time, if bedtime is approaching 10 o'clock and that kind of thing, it really makes it difficult to handle. So if you're letting your toddler sleep in too much, that could definitely just kind of make the problem continue and get worse and worse and worse until they're going to bed at midnight with you. So you just want to try to avoid that. Now, your toddler still needs a bedtime routine, so you should keep that in mind. A strong bedtime routine really helps with that separation at bedtime, because then they know what to expect, and if you can make it the same every night, it really just, you know, makes them comfortable, it reassures them that they know what's coming, and it gives them a lot of security. And it also helps them wind down. You know, I did my article last week on bedtime stories. It really helps you relax your body and just kind of get ready for sleep. You know, my boys are very active. They're running around the house, and we start our bedtime routine, and 10 minutes into it, we're reading stories, and they're yawning. They're really getting ready to, you know, embrace sleep as much as they can, you know. So a sample routine that I, you know, we basically just, you know, maybe do a bath and then put on pajamas and brush their teeth and then read some books. And then what we usually do is we turn on some music and snuggle, and I talk to them about their day, you know, what their favorite part of the time, favorite part of the day was, and, you know, try to really end the night on a good note and that kind of thing. Now, eventually with my older child, he can talk to me a lot, especially right now about sports, and eventually I do have to tell him, you know, okay, it's time to sleep. We need to stop talking now, and we're still snuggling, but he needs to start, you know, turning off his brain, basically. So, and sometimes he falls asleep before I leave, but I generally don't try to do that. I'll get up and tell him good night. I love him and that kind of thing. So, but the thing with toddlers is routines tend to get longer because now they're trying to, you know, ask you lots of questions about the books, or just their attention kind of goes somewhere else. And my younger son at 2.5, you know, he's off in La La Land doing this and that, and he's, you know, taking longer to choose his books. But toddlers love choices, so you want to give them those choices. So you have to keep in mind that you want to give enough time for that routine to, you know, to take a little longer, you know, especially when you're trying to help them learn how to put on their own clothes and that kind of stuff. It's much faster for you to do it, but you want them to be independent and learn to do it on their own. So I would say when they're babies, a bedtime routine could take, you know, 15 minutes if you're lucky, 30 if you're like me, and then for a toddler, it could take up to 45 minutes, sometimes an hour even, just depending on how much they feel like listening. Now, if you don't have a bedtime routine, you know, some toddlers can probably, you know, go right to bed and, you know, just talk to themselves for a few minutes and that kind of thing. But if your toddler is having trouble with that part, then he just might have trouble falling asleep or doesn't want to stay in bed. You know, if they're still really wound up, they're just going to pop out of bed more often because they still have that energy to burn off. So, okay, so that was about the bedtime routine. I just like to talk about that. The next topic that I want to talk about is transitioning to one nap, because that's a very hot topic among in my consultations and that type of thing. When to know when it's time to transition to one nap. And that is tricky sometimes. The average age is between 15 and 18 months, and some can transition earlier, even if they're not quite ready or they're a little too young. A lot of daycares go to one nap at 12 months, and for the most part, toddlers are very resilient and they'll, you know, learn to adapt. But for some toddlers, it can be very difficult because now instead of staying up 3 to 4 hours, they're staying up 5 and sometimes 6 hours, depending on what time bedtime is, so they get very overtired. And the thing about transitioning to one nap early, you know, you might think it's time because one day they happen to miss their morning nap and they slept 3 hours in the afternoon and you think maybe they're ready. The problem with that is you know, one day of one nap is one thing, but as the days go, they get more and more tired. And 2 weeks later, you might be looking at, okay, he was waking up at 7, now he's waking up at 5, what's going on? And it's all because they're overtired. So then at that point, you want to, you know, make sure bedtime is early and make sure they're getting enough sleep. Now, the way that you really know that they're ready to transition to one nap is they will start resisting one of their naps, like, no matter what you do. Even if they're playing, talking during their nap, they might be ready to transition. Now, I say might be because it's possible that they're resisting that afternoon nap, but you just need to make it a little later. So let's say if they were napping at 2, and now you leave him in his crib for 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., and he still hasn't fallen asleep, so you get him up. Well, if you were to try to start his nap at 3 p.m., he may just fall right to sleep and sleep for an hour. Now, the problem with that is if bedtime starts getting late, so it can be a judgment call, and it can also cause a problem in your toddler's schedule, is if you can put them down for a nap at 3 and they wake up at 4 and they go to bed happily at 8 or 8:30, then that's great. Sometimes, though, you can do that and then bedtime gets a little late, but then it starts affecting their night sleep and they're not sleeping long enough. So whether they're resisting the nap or they are napping happily but it's causing those nighttime issues or waking up too early in the morning, then it's probably time to transition to just one nap. The easiest way to do that is to slowly increase time between sleep periods where you're pushing that morning nap later and later by 15 minutes and until they're roughly at 5 hours after they wake up for the day. That tends to be the ideal nap time. Some people try to shoot for 1 p.m. when they're waking up at 7 or even 6, and that's generally too long. Just like when they were a baby, the first awake time in the morning is usually shorter than the afternoon, so they might go 5 hours in the morning, and a lot of toddlers go 5 hours in the afternoon, but some might go closer to 6 hours. But again, if sleep starts unraveling, you need to pull bedtime back a little bit there. Now, how long will the nap be? That's a common question. It's not necessarily true that if they were taking 2 1.5-hour naps that they'll all of a sudden be taking 3 hours. In fact, one nap is usually too short at first, and then it will slowly get longer and longer as they fully transition. And it could take 2 to 3 weeks to fully transition, depending on age, usually. So if he's only napping 1 hour, when you first transition, that's when you definitely have to have bedtime earlier. And then slowly but surely, you want to give him time to go back to sleep at nap time, and slowly but surely, he should have his nap longer and longer. When my son transitioned, he only slept 45 minutes, and it was, you know, very cranky afternoons, especially around dinner time. But 45 minutes turned to an hour pretty quickly, like within a week, and then he went to 1.5 hours, and eventually he went to 2.5 hours was his max, but then it started messing up bedtime, so we had to decide not to nap him at all at 2.5 or so. The potential pitfalls in transitioning to one nap is there are times where they'll nap fine for, you know, once a day for, you know, 5 days, let's say, and that's going fine, but they're getting pretty tired, and you can tell they're getting tired. Well, one thing that some parents feel like they can't do is give them 2 naps again. You know, and everybody says consistency is key, and that is true. You want to be consistent, but at the same time, you need to respect their need for sleep and that type of thing. So by all means, every 5-6 days, give them 2 naps just to help them kind of bridge that gap in transitioning. Or if they've gone to 1 nap too early at daycare, let's say, then on the weekend they might need 2 naps still, you know, and that might last for a few months even. And that's okay. They just need the sleep, and that will help you out too. Also, if you keep bedtime too late, that's another common pitfall, then that will start to, or often, unravel sleep because then they just start getting really too tired. And then for transitioning to no napping, that generally happens between 3 and 4 years old. Some are sooner. We purposely got rid of our nap because bedtime was getting much too late for my son. He had to stay up 7 hours in the afternoon to fall asleep, and it was taking him a long time to fall asleep. So all babies do vary there. The loss of the nap can happen even later at kindergarten and that type of thing. So it just depends on your child and how much sleep he needs. Generally, again, if it's starting to cause nighttime problems, that's another common reason to transition to no napping. You know, if they're up a lot at night when they just don't seem tired, that kind of thing. Okay, so the next hot topic is transitioning to a big boy or a big girl bed. That generally happens between 2 and 4 years old. Now, 2 is definitely on the young side, although most people tend to think that that's what time when they should do it, and that's actually when I did it with our sons both times. But it can be difficult because then now they have these imaginary boundaries, and they need to learn how to stay in bed. And even if a toddler knows what to do or knows what not to do, it's just too tempting sometimes not to do it, you know. Hey, what happens when I put this blanket in the toilet? You know, even if you've told them not to mess with the toilet, they just can't resist. You know, that's kind of their job, is to test us. And it's just kind of knowing not to do something is different than being able to control your impulses. So those imaginary boundaries, they do make it hard for some two-year-olds to stay in bed. Now, the best way to transition is, you know, involve your toddler in the design of the room, picking out the bed, get them very excited about, you know, what's going on, that they're a big boy or a big girl, and the more choices you give them, the better. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that you want this, I don't know, hot pink room, I mean, necessarily, but maybe you do, and you want to give them choices that you'll be happy with. You know, do you like this blue or that blue, this pink or that pink, or do you like cars or the Elmo and that kind of thing. So just do what you're feel good about, but also give them choices about what they have in their own room. That really helps. Also, we spent a lot of time in the room before we transitioned for sleep. You know, we had a snack in there on his little table and, you know, that kind of thing. Some people do a bigger to-do. We didn't do this, but some people, you know, put balloons and, you know, really make it a big deal, like a little transitioning party. You'll want to set up the rules right away as soon as you transition, you know, the rules of staying in bed and, you know, or waiting for mommy and daddy to come get you, or whatever your rules are going to be. And you want to give them positive reinforcement for when they do it. And, you know, if they don't do it, you know, try to put them back and remind them what to do or show them what to do. And that helps a lot as well. At toddler age, when you transition, it's very common that they want the door open so they can, you know, not feel so cut off from the world or from the house and have you very far away. But you'll definitely want to set up some rules about that they have to stay in bed and that kind of thing. And sometimes they need a nightlight or hall light on as well. And you can also set up a reward chart for when they do the right thing. So that definitely helps with toddlers as well. The next hot topic is waking up before dawn. That is a very big problem, actually, for many toddlers. I would say one of the bigger reasons is when their schedule doesn't align correctly, and it's kind of hard to explain, but our inner clocks are set to do certain things at certain times, and that includes sleep and appetite, as among other things, but when we're talking about your toddler, those are big things that go together. So if your baby or if your toddler is waking up too early and they're hungry, for example, then if you feed them breakfast too early, then they're going to keep waking up early because now you're kind of setting their internal clock to get hungry at that time in the morning, and pretty much every day they'll get hungry at that time. And also, light stimulating our eyes is what kind of sets our internal clock for sleep. So if they're getting up at 5:30 and you're turning on the lights and that kind of thing, that will help you know, reinforce that they should be waking up early. So that's another thing. I used to be able to wake up at, you know, 6 o'clock for work, even before I had kids, without an alarm clock, just because, you know, my brain was just programmed to wake up that early, and it drives you crazy on Saturday when you can sleep in and you just don't. So some internal clocks are just stronger than others. An early riser, he can also be getting up too early. If he's done sleeping, he could just be going to bed at the wrong time, you know. If he's going to bed too late, that's a common cause for waking up too early in the morning, even though it's still counterintuitive. It was true when he was a baby, and now it's true when he's a toddler as well. However, with toddlers, it gets a lot more complicated because if they go to bed too early, then, of course, that can lead to just waking up early because they're just done sleeping. They had a two-hour nap, and now they need, you know, 10 hours at night, and they're just done at 5 o'clock because they went to bed at 7. So you definitely want to keep that in mind and think about moving their schedules around, especially with food as well. And also, 4 to 6 a.m. is the lightest time of the day, so that's true for all of us. So one thing is just to make sure that you encourage them to try to go back to sleep. They might be just waking up just because they're, you know, in light sleep and they see some sunlight coming through the window and that type of thing, and you definitely want to not encourage them to get up at that hour. I typically say to treat a 5 a.m. wake up the same as a 2 a.m. wake up. You're not going to start the day at 2 a.m., so I wouldn't start it at 5 a.m. either. So you want to, you know, treat it the same way, encourage them to go back to sleep. Okay, so I think I do have a bit more time, so I'm going to just go over a few reasons for common reasons that toddlers wake up at night. One big reason, of course, is that they can't fall asleep on their own, so they wake up, you know, for your company. Even if you're just sitting next to them, you know, you're starting the night one way, and then when they wake up in the middle of the night, they don't see you there, they don't like that, and they come and find you if they're in the toddler bed already. So we really want to encourage them to go to sleep the same way we want them, the same way we expect them to wake up periodically at night. We all wake up periodically at night. Some of us roll over and look at the clock. Some of us, you know, adjust your covers, you know, you're hot, you're cold, that kind of thing. So we just want to start the night the same way that the rest will go. Now, some toddlers are still eating at night, and you'll want to try to night wean them. You know, young toddlers, you know, 12 to 14 months, some still have trouble going 12 hours without eating. Some adults have trouble with that, so that, you know, he may or may not be able to night wean, but it is definitely worth it to try. You know, you'll want to start making the bottles or cups smaller, moving the feedings later and later every night, so until he's used to not eating. Now, this is the same thing I was talking earlier about internal clocks. If he's kind of set to wake up at 2 a.m. hungry, then it's not going to be a quick, oh, don't be hungry at 2 a.m. You have to kind of teach his body not to be hungry at 2 a.m. by delaying that 2 a.m., you know, every night, or making it smaller just so you're curbing his appetite, not filling him up and that kind of thing. So you'll want to try to do that as well and just make sure he's eating enough during the day. Now, another thing that happens in toddlerhood are nightmares and night terrors, and those are different. Night terrors is when your child wakes up inconsolable, they're crying, they're screaming, you think they look frantic, scared of something, and a lot of people think that they're nightmares, but the difference with night terrors is they don't know you're there. They can't be comforted by you being there or anything like that. They usually last about 5 minutes and they'll go right back to sleep, actually. But sometimes if you're trying to console them, then you kind of wake them up, but many times they'll just go right back to sleep. It's really difficult to have your toddler go through this because there's nothing you can do and you feel powerless. There's really, unfortunately, nothing you can really do. Now, night terrors can be triggered by being overtired and that kind of thing. But in general, you'll want to kind of be there, make sure that they're not going to hurt themselves or anything like that, because some will get out of bed and, like, sleepwalk and that kind of thing. But in general, you just kind of need to let it ride it out. For nightmares, of course, that's different. They're scared. They'll know you're there. They'll be comforted by the fact you're there. And, of course, you do want to comfort them during nightmares. It can be scary being a little kid. And, you know, especially as they learn, as their imagination develops and they start learning that things can hurt them and that kind of thing, that's when nightmares really start cropping up. And, you know, they start working through any fears during the day and they work through those at night. And they can be challenging. Unfortunately, there's nothing, you know, I don't have a silver bullet to remove nightmares. We've been plagued with them for quite a while now, and they come and go. And I tend to think my son has more of them when he gets hot at night. I know that's kind of, I'm not sure if that's what it is, but something seems to trigger them sometimes, or if we've watched a new movie. And some movies that are rated G just aren't, they're still not appropriate for a 4 or 5 year old, because there's just scary things in there and it triggers a nightmare as well. So, and then also the last thing that, or one of the last things that causes night waking at night is developmental, especially when your toddler is about to have their, what I call a language explosion, where they're saying a few words, but they're not really talking. All of a sudden, it seems like overnight, they are talking in sentences and having full-on conversations with you, and you're just thinking, wow, I mean, you are really growing up, and that tends to keep them up at night. Their brain is very active, trying to put all this stuff together, learning a new language, basically. So that can keep them up as well. It's usually a phase, but it can be a few weeks as well. Of course, the thing with any of these things is that if you do too much at night, you know, something that starts as a phase can become a permanent structure in your routine, because you're setting expectations and you might be reinforcing the very wakings that you're trying to stop. So there's a delicate balance, and, you know, it's very difficult, I know. And the best thing you could do is just learn how to set limits appropriately and really work with them on, you know, reward charts and telling them the behavior that you do want. And especially after the phase ends, then that's when you want to get back to the, you know, your normal routine as quickly as possible. Okay, so that's all I have on my list right now, and I will now open it up for questions. So hopefully I didn't go too fast. I was trying to get a lot in there. If you want to ask a question, then please press *6 to unmute yourself, and then you can press *6 again to mute yourself when you're done. Okay, hello.
Hi. Is this Nicole?
Yes, this is Nicole.
Oh, hi, Nicole. I just listened to your session.
Oh, hi. Go ahead.
Is it still going on, or do you have the Q&A going on right now?
The Q&A right now, but, you know, what I did was I didn't put it back in Q&A mode, so I couldn't hear anybody asking questions, so I'm back here trying to get people back to ask questions. I'm so sorry. Do you have any?
Oh, it's okay. I do, actually, and I wasn't sure. I'm like, well, let me call back.
So yeah.
I called back.
Exactly.
I do. Oops, are you there?
Yeah, sorry about
okay.
that.
Oh, that's okay.
Go ahead. 21-month-old, and you transitioned to a toddler bed. Go ahead.
Transitioned to a toddler bed, and it seems to me that we're having to change our routine, like, every few months. And the latest routine is he eats some applesauce for dessert. It has some medicine in it. And then we let him watch Handy Manny. And that seems to really settle him down. Trying to read a book to him doesn't really work right now. He's kind of just all over the place, and I'd like to get into the habit of doing that, but it just hasn't happened yet. And then having him go to sleep is just pretty much a nightmare after we've. So.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry about that.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. This is Nicole Johnson. How are you?
Hi, good. Are there other people on the phone?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We're doing the Q&A now. Apparently, I didn't push the right button to allow people to unmute themselves.
Okay. So did you already get asked a question?
Yes, we're in the middle of it now.
Oh,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. It's okay. So I was just wondering if there was any good suggestions for, like, Ashley at the bedtime, you know, because right now I'm kind of just, you know, sitting on her back, and it's just forever.
Okay.
Oops.
Hello? How long does it take her to fall asleep?
It takes him about an hour, including the Handy Manny segment. So about
half
an hour to 45 minutes.
Once you're trying to get him to sleep, how long does that take?
Usually at least half an hour, at least.
Okay, and can you tell me about his napping then?
He takes a two-hour nap during the day at daycare from 11:30 to 1:30, and he's a great napper.
Okay.
And he goes to sleep great.
That's good. So what?
For everyone else, it works great. Even when we have babysitters at night, he's asleep in 5 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And they do it at the same time as you do?
They do it at the same time. Mm-hmm.
Now, when I try to stay with my son to fall asleep, I mean, like if he's sick or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it sometimes just takes long just because I'm there and
right.
like he's anticipating I'm leaving. So if you can work on leaving before he's asleep or,
mm-hmm.
you know, distancing yourself rather than like rubbing his back, you know, that will help you.
Okay.
Because that way, you know, he won't be constantly expecting you to leave, and that kind of keeps him up longer.
Right.
So that will help. And what time is bedtime? And just make sure that he's not overtired or undertired as well.
Well, yeah, we usually start around 7:30.
Okay, and he's up at 1:30, you said?
Well, yeah, he's up from his nap at 1:30.
Okay, but he's 21 months, so
yeah.
6 hours, I mean, that's pretty good. Is 7:30 the time that you're shooting for him to be asleep?
No, that's just when we start. I would like him to be asleep by 8:30 at the latest.
You might start a little earlier just in case he's overtired, because that will make him kind of resist more.
Okay.
And 6 hours is pretty long, even at that age. So you might try earlier just to see if that helps.
Okay, great. And if he starts crying, are there any suggestions for when you start leaving the room?
That's where it gets really complicated, because there's a lot of different tactics to use.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can slowly start distancing yourself, that will help, you know, curb much crying. You know,
okay.
The goal, I guess, would be to, you know, try to keep him calm. You don't want him hysterical, but, you know, of course, he's a toddler, so he might fuss a little bit and that kind of thing. But if
yeah.
you can kind of just slowly remove yourself rather than an abrupt departure, that
okay, like
really
a,
helps.
Like a foot a night. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great. That helps. I'll try it. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Anybody else? Sorry about this Q&A issue.
It's Becky Seltzer is here.
Hi. Oh, hi. Hi, Becky. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
It's so nice to talk to you in person.
I know. I mean, I talk to so many people via email, but it's nice to always put a voice to it.
Yes, definitely. And I just have to say again, oh my gosh, I'm just so thrilled. I can't tell you. I'm so thrilled.
I know. I am so excited for you. Everybody, I worked with Becky via email, and she has made huge strides, and it's like so exciting. I get tears in my eyes when I read her emails.
Oh, and I will definitely be putting something up. I'm just trying to comprise a testimonial that's worthy to be posted, because I am just absolutely stunned at what I've seen happen.
I know.
So,
I'm so happy. Thank you so much, Becky. Is
yes,
there
more than welcome?
For
I just have a question. Something I was thinking about when you were talking about transitioning from either a child that's taking two naps a day down to one, or one nap to none. Is it possible to, instead of cutting out a nap completely, to shorten it, especially when going from one nap a day down to none?
Yes, you can do that. Some people will have luck, you know, waking them. Let's say if they're taking a two-hour nap, you might wake them up after 1 hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did that as well for a while, but our issue was he just started getting really cranky being woken up every day. But some toddlers are just fine being woken up. Now, the best way to do that, to wake a toddler up, or a baby for that matter, is, you know, you don't want to wake them up when they're like kind of in a deep sleep cycle. So, you know,
right.
what we always do is kind of rub their back, or just even walking in the room and kind of, you know, turn on the light and that kind of thing. If they're in a deep sleep, they're not going to even, you know you're there. But if
right.
they're kind of in a sleep transition, then they'll, you know, some kids will just pop up as soon as you walk in the room, and that's a good time to get them up because they're not going to be coming out of that deep slumber that, you know, really makes them cranky. So if you do that, that helps. But yes, you can definitely start shortening the nap. And I should have talked about that actually for the transitioning to one nap, is sometimes you can keep two naps and shorten the morning nap so you can get an afternoon nap out of them. So
okay.
Nicole.
Very good.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and I just have a question because I have 2 3-year-olds, a boy and a girl, and our nighttime routine varies. I haven't been very good about keeping it consistent because my husband travels and he's not always home every night. So I've got, you know, 2 little clingy children who want to be by my side constantly, and if I even try to leave the room, it's a complete hysteria, and they are both in separate rooms. I just don't know how to go about combating that because I don't want to have them screaming hysterically as they're chasing me, grabbing at my legs, you know, when I've got 2 of them doing it at the same time. Should I train one of them first and just do 1 at a time, or should I try to conquer it at both at the same time?
I would probably do 1 at a time just because I'm a type of person that tries to, you know, do things that are manageable so you can actually, you know, feel like you're succeeding. So I always kind of break things into pieces. It's just kind of my nature. But I would definitely try to work with one. Now, that, you know, of course, the logistics are hard sometimes. Does one go to bed later than the other?
Well, no, they generally go down at the same time, and they both have very different needs when it comes to what they like to do before they go to bed. So it's because, you know, it was their first time around, and now that they're 3, we're realizing that, you know, all the soothing we did for them was not the best idea. So we're just kind of in a mess about, you know, how do we start undoing all that we've done and get into a nice routine.
Well, just to make you feel better, even if you didn't do all that, toddlers, they tend to change, and all of a sudden the child that didn't need you to stay with them all of a sudden does, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, I just don't want you to feel bad about that it's, you know, your fault that you, you know, did all this when they were babies. That it's just very common for them to start, you know, feeling very attached, and, you know, who wouldn't want to sleep with mom instead of
right.
by themselves, you know, and that kind of thing. So
yeah.
If you can work on it when, like, maybe when your husband's home, where you work on one, just 1 at a time, and I typically say work on the challenging one first, or
right.
the more challenging, if there is one that's one more challenging, just so that could, you know, really make your night smoother and a little bit easier. And I usually think the tougher one tends to make faster progress for
okay.
some reason, just because they probably have a little further to go so they can, you know, make further progress.
Okay. And can you just tell me again, for 3-year-olds, how much sleep do they require generally?
At 3 years old, they'll still need 10 to 11 hours of sleep at night, and if they're still napping, it'll be, you know, 1 to 3 hours, but 3 hours is definitely on the high side.
Yeah, we cut them back because it was just getting to be too much. And I don't know if I should cut out the naps altogether. I'm just so afraid of doing so many different things, and that I'm not going to be able to do it long enough to see if it actually makes a difference.
Right, and I typically say try one thing at a time. I don't generally say cut out the nap unless it's causing nighttime issues, but not so much bedtime struggles, but if they're waking up a lot at night, staying up a lot in the middle of the night, that kind of thing. I'd have to know, like, specifics and that kind of thing, but
right.
I don't generally say cut out the nap until it's, like, necessary.
Okay.
'Cause some will nap for another year, so it's hard to know.
I need them to nap. If not, I'm going to go crazy.
Well, I didn't mention this. When you transition to no napping, you still want to do some kind of rest time where they independently play on their own. It won't be as long as a nap. If they nap 3 hours, you know, they're not going to stay in the room for 3 hours.
Right.
But, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, they should still have some downtime, some, you know, where they are encouraged to sleep or to play on their own and that type of thing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Hi, Nicole.
Yes?
Hi, it's Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thanks for responding to my email. Sorry, I was trying to, because it just kept telling me you was muted. So.
I know.
No,
you. I'm so sorry. That was my fault.
Okay.
I didn't push the button that says Q&A mode.
Q&A.
So unmute people.
Thank
I was wondering,
you.
There's so many people on the call,
yeah.
I can't believe there's not more questions.
Not
this
one
is
question.
Funny. Yes, exactly.
I just had a quick question just to build on the previous question.
Sure.
So I have a 2-year-old, or she'll be 2 in 2 weeks, and As a baby, she was great in terms of her sleep habits. We have a bedtime routine established. She's still on a bottle in the evenings. And then we do a little bit of a bedtime routine. We read her a story, sing her songs, and then we put her down. So generally she doesn't have a problem going to bed, but she wakes up, let's say her bedtime, usually we aim for about an 8:30 bedtime, okay. So sleeping by 8:30, 9 o'clock, but she's waking up at like 2:30 in the morning, but for hours. So she's up for two and a half hours, sometimes 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
And she's not hungry. We change her diaper. She's maybe the odd occasion she's cold, but we've dressed her more warmly. She pretty much just wants me to be there. And she lies in her crib and just kind of lies there. She's napping. We've cut her naps now. She used to nap for about almost 3 hours. We've cut it now down to 2 hours, thinking that might help. Some days it does, sometimes it doesn't. So I just didn't know if you had any insight maybe as to why. Like, I get why she could wake up. I just didn't know, like, it's so long. She's up
for two and a half hours. And that's actually an indication of a schedule problem usually, like too long of a nap or too early bedtime. And that because staying up for long periods is basically like insomnia. You know, she physically can't sleep, and she'd rather you be there with her when she can't sleep because everybody gets frustrated when they can't sleep. So,
right.
So typically the remedy is to make bedtime later. But if it's already at 8:30, you know, you have to ask yourself if you want to.
Yeah, how much later?
Yeah, exactly.
Because she'll typically fall asleep again. Like if she wakes up at 2:30, she'll fall back asleep by like 5 or something like that, and then she'll sleep for another couple of hours.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and you don't want to let her sleep in too much, but if she's only sleeping another couple of hours, that's not too long.
Yeah, we take it day by day. Like, you know, we try not to, because you're right, we're waking her up sometimes in the morning because we don't want it to then just continue to roll over for days after days. So.
Yes, exactly. So you can try shortening the nap even more. I mean, this is kind of, at 2.5 is where I started saying, okay, he can't nap anymore.
I heard you say that earlier.
Yeah, and I don't take that lightly, though, so I would try maybe a shorter nap or a slightly later bedtime. Sometimes even 30 to 45 minutes makes a difference.
So if you try
9 p.m., you know, and then if it takes her, you know, 10 minutes to fall asleep, at least, you know, that's a little later. So you might just try that. Before you cut out the nap completely.
We don't want to cut out the nap yet.
But, I know.
But I mean, we were at one point, we were kind of testing it to see, just let her sleep on her own, and she would sleep three and a half hours. Now, sometimes it was probably because she's catching up from the night before.
Right, and you don't want her to do that. Yet.
Yeah, but otherwise we just try to, we're just trying to cut it off so that at least there's some consistency to her day there that way.
And also make sure there's a lot of time between nap and bedtime. For example, if she was taking a 2-hour nap at 2 o'clock to 4, that's different than taking a 2-hour nap at 12 to 2.
Right.
So you just need to make sure there's enough time before bedtime
Which is usually 5 to 6 hours between waking up from a nap and then bedtime in general?
Yes, exactly.
5 to 6 hours. Okay.
Yes. At this age, and if she's having this trouble, I would say six or more hours. Six and a half, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's happy. That's the other thing, right? It's not that she's cranky. It's none of that. So she's fine.
And I went through this, too, as well. And, you know, my son kept staying up for 1 to 2 hours at night, and I had to ask myself, what would you tell a client if they were telling you the same thing? And I said, oh, duh, okay, I need to do this, okay. So it's hard to see your own problem, too.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Nicole.
Okay, you're welcome. Anybody else?
I just have a general question about your services. Can you just quickly review, like, for the type of consultations that you do? I mean, I'd love to have you come out to my house and you can stay over and help me do this.
Right.
I don't know if that's even a service. I need a super nanny. That's what I really need.
I know.
I know you have some online consultations, but what are your packages like, or do you just want me to look at the website?
Well, I don't do home visits yet. You know, I have my family at home.
Sure.
It's very hard for me to travel and that kind of thing. And also, you know, some babies just take longer than others, and I don't like to necessarily leave you hanging, basically. You know, I wouldn't want to do that, so I try to, you know, work together online.
Okay.
I do email consultations and phone, and there's also packages that include phone and email as well.
And the email packages, it basically works. I have a sleep help desk just because my inbox just gets crazy. So the help desk I can access from any computer, so it helps me stay organized, and then it keeps your history. It keeps it private. It's a secure website and everything. And that way I can keep everything at my fingertips. And that you get to by going to babysleepsite.com/helpdesk.
Okay.
And to see all the services, you can go to babysleepsite.com/services. And for the emails, you know, I tell people I don't really charge for every single email I send, you know, and some people are saying, please charge me for this, you know, because sometimes I just kind of like to give, you know, quick clarifications or quick pick-me-ups, you know, especially when you're struggling and that type of thing. So I'll do all those for free. So it depends on your situation, and you can always email me, and I'll recommend how many emails I think you'll need or
okay.
how much phone time. In general, we can get through a lot of stuff in one email and maybe one follow-up, but some situations are obviously more complicated, or if you have a more persistent toddler or baby, you know, that definitely adds more time.
Okay.
I don't know, two to four emails is usually a good, you know, starting point, or one phone call.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, great. I hope to hear from you. Great. So any other questions? If you have any other questions, I should shut down the line. But if you have any more questions, please feel free to email me, and I'll answer as many as I can. And then I'll see you guys around the website, and thank you so much for attending today, and thank you for being patient with my technical issue with not pushing the right button. You know how it is. Okay, well, thank you so much, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Hopefully I covered a lot that would help you. As I said before, sometimes toddlers are easier because they can understand a lot. It really depends on your child. Sometimes it's more difficult because now long-term habits have been, you know, ingrained for quite a while, and sometimes it's hard to break habits. But during any changes, just expect a transition period. You know, none of us are just good at something right away, so try to give them time to change, just like we need time to get used to new routines. And just be patient and set firm limits with toddlers, and you'll be in a much better place. So it's been a pleasure. Again, my name is Nicole Johnson from babysleepsite.com, and I'm available for questions anytime. Just email Nicole@babysleepsite.com, and you'll land right into my personal mailbox. I also have the sleep help desk at babysleepsite.com/helpdesk, and then we have, you know, members areas and everything there too. So it's been a pleasure, and good luck with your toddler sleep. Thank you.
Hello?